Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, May 6th. Today, a new bill at the Colorado Legislature would clarify the amount of money political nonprofits can spend on ballot measures before they need to disclose their donors. Before we continue, a quick message from our friends and sponsors, Colorado Water Trust, a statewide nonprofit that restores flows to Colorado's rivers in need. They partner with water users, providing temporary and flexible transactions, pay fair market value for water, and ensure water rights are protected. Learn more about their Request for Water program at coloradowatertrust.org. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1859, in what is now Gilpin County, John Gregory found the first lode gold source in present-day Colorado. Gold fever spread rapidly on the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains as thousands of Americans sought to blunt the panic of 1857. Many achieved modest success, sifting gold by panning in streams, but the real profit lay in discovering a lode. Like many early Colorado miners, Gregory hailed from Georgia, where a gold rush had taken place in the 1830s. Gregory joined a dozen people in a prospecting party headed up Clear Creek. He dug into the side of a ravine, later named Gregory Gulch, and shoveled out a dollar's worth of gold ore. Each shovelful proved just as profitable. The money kept flowing. In 3 days, Gregory scooped out nearly $1,000 worth of gold ore. Once the word got out, miners flocked to the richest square mile on Earth. Within a month, 2,000 people lived in Central City, the town built in Gregory Gulch, and by 1860, its population reached 5,000. Next, our feature story. A new bill with bipartisan support at the Colorado Legislature would clarify the amount of money political nonprofits can spend on ballot measures before they must disclose their donors. The bill would make political nonprofits disclose donors only if more than 30% of their total spending over 3 years goes toward multiple ballot measures. Donors can also stay under wraps if support goes to only one ballot measure and that spending remains below 20% of the group's total expenditures over 3 years. Journalism resident Margaret Fleming talks to data reporter Sandra Fish about these dark money groups and the bill that cleared the state Senate but lacks the support of the Secretary of State.
All right, back with the podcast. I'm Margaret Fleming. Today I have Sandra Fish joining me. Sandra, thank you so much for being here.
It's good to talk to you, Margaret.
And you wrote a piece for today for The Sun about dark money. What do you mean by that?
So dark money is typically money that comes from nonprofits, and they're a certain kind, an IRS C4, not nonprofit group. And they can spend some of their money on politics. And they actually spend a lot in Colorado when it comes to these ballot initiatives we see every election year. You know, things trying to cut property taxes or change the income tax rate, that sort of thing. And those are primarily, they're often backed by these dark money nonprofits. And what we mean when we say dark money is they don't have to disclose their donors under IRS rules. So we don't know where the money's coming from.
And there's a new Senate bill going through the Colorado legislature that is attempting to combat this issue. Can you talk a little bit about the bill and what you wrote about in your article?
So Senate Bill 237, introduced just last week, it's already sailed through the Senate unanimously. And that bill would set some standards for dark money spending on these, just the ballot initiatives. It has nothing to do with candidate campaigns or super PACs, but on issue committees that support or oppose ballot initiatives. And the reason they want this bill is because there's been a lot of confusion about this. And there's actually a case in Denver District Court against a nonprofit called Unite for Colorado. They spent about $4 million in 2020 to support or oppose three different ballot initiatives. And they faced a complaint, a campaign finance complaint with the Secretary of State's office saying they should be forced to name their donors because they're spending so much money on these ballot initiatives. And the Secretary of State's office ended up fining them and ordering them to disclose their donors. They've challenged that ruling in Denver District Court. it's going to take a while to work it through the system. The current law just says that if a group's major purpose is politics, it's got to disclose or issue committees. Well, this bill clarifies that. And one of the things that it does is it says, if you're spending 30% of your total spending over 3 years on two or more ballot initiatives, you've got to disclose your donors. Now, Unite for Colorado, they spent about $17.2 million in 2020. So they wouldn't have had to report under this measure, and neither would other national groups. Let me mention that Unite for Colorado is a conservative organization. They're supporting mostly Republican-backed ballot initiatives and causes, but there are a couple of big national organizations, the North Fund and 1630 Fund, that spend even more on ballot initiatives in 2020 that were on the liberal side of things, like the Paid Family Leave Act. Both of those groups chipped in to support that successful measure in 2020. So none of these groups would have to report where their money came from under this bill. And it would make it very clear. It would cease those complaints that keep being filed against the various groups with the Secretary of State's office.
And you said it passed unanimously through the Senate, but the Secretary of State's office is not in full support, right?
It's interesting because this bill was introduced by Senate President Steve Finberg, a Boulder Democrat, and Senate Minority Leader Chris Hulbert, who's a Republican conservative dude from Elbert, from Douglas County. And it has bipartisan support. Clearly, it passed unanimously. The Secretary of State's office says it opposes the measure, but they won't tell me why or say anything more than that. There was a hearing on the bill earlier this week, and they did not testify on it. We're silent on it. But groups like Common Cause, the Bell Policy Center — Bell is definitely considered more of a progressive liberal organization — and then somebody who is from Advance Colorado Action, and then a lawyer who represents a lot of conservative groups, also testified in favor of the bill. You know, this has support across the board because none of these groups want to disclose this information. But it's interesting that the Secretary of State isn't talking about why they oppose it.
And so where does the bill go from here, and this issue of dark money campaigns in general?
So next, this bill is going to go to the House, and I bet it's fast-tracked there, just like it has been in the Senate. I mean, there are only like four more days left of weekdays at the very least for the legislature to get things done. It'll go to the House. There will be a committee hearing there, and we'll see if anybody shows up to oppose it. But so far, it's a lot of politicians like it because those ballot initiatives — I went back and took a look at spending on statewide ballot measures in 2019 and 2020, and seven of the top 15 funders of those statewide measures were nonprofit organizations that have the potential to have these complaints filed against them. This bill really takes that ability away and keeps their donors secret.
Sandra, thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to continuing to reading your reporting on this topic.
Thanks for talking with me, Margaret.
For more on this story, visit us at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A group of investors is planning a 237,000-square-foot facility that could produce 100 ready-to-assemble apartment units per month. The group has acquired 177 acres in Grand Junction that could be developed into 2,000 units of affordable housing for the local workforce. Modular housing is a growing industry in Colorado, though this factory would embrace a European factory model that uses robots to build the units and uses employees as machine operators. At full production, this design creates more jobs than a typical construction model. When it comes to wildfires, researchers often become concerned about the quality of water sources. But a group at Colorado State University is now looking into water quantity after a wildfire. When it comes to snowpack, the amount of snow stored goes down and melts earlier when there's a fire. But with stream flow, the runoff increases after a fire because burnt trees don't need water anymore. The relationship between fire and water will be interesting to study as Colorado heads into what looks to be a hot and dry summer. Colorado legislators are fighting in the Senate over property taxes. A bill supported by the governor and other Democratic lawmakers would bring down property tax increases over the next 2 years. But a group of conservatives are fighting back, saying the bill would lower next year's tax refunds. This group wants to add a measure to the ballot to slash property taxes. Supporters of the bill have drafted a competing measure to prevent property tax changes from being made through the ballot. Funding for schools and local governments are at risk as the groups battle it out in the final days of the 2022 legislative session. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.